At least three or four people have been busily scribbling away, so I suspect you have suggested changes. So we'll start with the corner down here, Laurence and Joanna, and work our way around.
Sorry.
You're on. So am I.
Go ahead. You're first.
I'm not sure. The second paragraph. I'm not sure it really works. I mean, the key issue is, and I know we said that we wanted to do something that wasn't conclusive, didn't encourage diversity in practice, but is that, I mean, don't we want to start off by actually saying that there are two sentences that appear to be conflicting? I mean, that's the fact. That's the issue we've actually got. And I'm not sure that we actually... I would have thought we should be saying that, that effectively the introduction says these are options, the sentence itself says you must do this. Sorry, and I'm struggling because I don't know what the solution, I mean, that's as far as I got with the scribbles.
We're saying this, you'd be saying there's contradictory wording in
the
statement.
Yes, okay, conflicting is the contradictory wording, yes.
But I thought that one of the overriding concerns that several people had was not creating any more
Agreed.
Diversity in practice
Agreed.
Than already
yes,
exists.
Yes, absolutely.
And doesn't that invite...
But that is a fact. There are arguably contradictory statements. And they're not even argued. They are contradictory statements.
I'm not convinced they're contradictory. I don't think we can assert that that clearly.
Maybe you could just say something. Maybe you could just say something to the effect
that some might perceive them to be contradictory. Or some might perceive them to the second paragraph to be conclusive, but the lead-in to be indicative, and for that reason the issue has come up. Not make a judgment about it per se, but simply, I mean, it doesn't really articulate that. It's saying paragraph B55A is conclusive, but not like why it is. So I agree with Joanna's comment that it's not fully explaining why the issue has arose, and it's the reading of those two sentences. Or maybe you just say the reading of those two sentences may lead people to believe that something is indicative and something else is conclusive.
And so we are then saying that judgment needs to be used to determine whether such contingent payments...
I would suggest we point out the potential inconsistency with an additional sentence in the first paragraph. So the submitter, we got the sentence that says the submitter asked the interpretation committee to clarify.
Because.
And then we add a sentence that says the question arises
because
B55A appears to be worded conclusively, yet the introduction to B55 seems to suggest that the subpoints are indicators.
Yes.
Okay.
That way it's not really, the committee hasn't concluded there is a conflict.
No.
It's just pointing out that this is why the submitter asked the question.
Yes.
Andrew, how's that sit with you?
I'm okay with that. I think that creates potential for more diversity. But my questions were a couple of points, really. Whilst appreciating the reason for the request for guidance, I wasn't quite sure what those words meant. So that's one question. And then the last paragraph talks about, with which I'm fine with, but it says, and avoiding creating divergence with the wording of US GAAP on a standard. And what is the wording of US GAAP? Is it this almost always stuff that's in the second paragraph?
No.
Exact same wording.
Yeah, the wording in IFRS 3 and US GAAP is the same.
Right, so the almost all, I mean, I thought where we were headed on this was maybe not US GAAP, but the way US, it's interpreted in the US. And these words almost always are they common terminology in the US? Is that... because I thought it's going to be remuneration unless it's not substantive. No, I don't know whether those words appear anywhere in literature or...
No, that's practice, and that's, I think, historically been the commission's view, commission staff view. Am I correct on that, Julie?
Yes, in the sense that it's rare and almost... It's rare that the person has to work for it, yet it's not compensation, unless it appears somewhat contrived, you know... They have to work 3 days or something where there's just no substance, or they don't have to, they have to work, but they don't ever have to come to the office. They don't ever have to do anything. It says they're on the payroll, but they don't really have to work. Well, so you're trying to get at the ones that in form they have to work, but in substance, either it's, they don't have to do anything.
Well, I in that case, I prefer the word substantive because that gives a clear message rather than almost always you think, okay, well, when won't it be then? And the answer is, when it's not substantive. So, taken for those words.
Point taken. John?
Yeah, similar to...
forgotten, yeah.
Similar to Andrew. I mean, I the last sentence talks about not wanting to create a divergence with US GAAP, but it's not clear what how US GAAP would interpret almost always indicates. So I think if it is, as Julie's saying, it's to deal with non-substantive and words like rarely and non-substantive, I prefer to see those in the rejection statement, if that's how US GAAP is done, given the comment at the end. Because I think this would actually just beg the question, what is almost always?
Well, one of the difficulties I would observe that we've seen in other places with IFRS 3 is the words are different, but the practices, the words are the same, but the practice is different. We saw that around definition of a business and IAS 40. I suspect there are other places where we would see it. Laurence?
I'm worried about going just to say that it wouldn't be remuneration when the work contract would not be substantive per se. Because you may have situations where effectively there will be some work, but still the contingent and the payment that will be made includes a huge chunk of real contingent consideration. So are you saying that because in this case, IFRS 3 does not allow to make the splits. So it's either or. It's either you treat everything as remuneration, even if you know there is a big chunk that is contingent consideration and it would be appropriate to treat as contingent consideration. Or you treat everything as contingent consideration and effectively you don't have remuneration expense. And in fact, maybe that's a problem. Because I would be concerned in the former case I described to treat everything as remuneration and so generated huge amount of negative goodwill as a profit with subsequent expenses. Because indeed, there may be, or might not be easy to demonstrate that that there is not a work contract, a normal work contract.
You know, you raised that point yesterday, and I've been thinking on it. Why would anybody structure a transaction knowing they were going to get that answer and knowing that it was going to drive them to compensation expense and negative goodwill? What would the business purpose for doing that be?
So you are saying accounting drive business transactions?
No, what I'm saying, oh, of course it does. It's what it's supposed to.
Well, unfortunately, it does.
Yeah. And it drives business transactions in the best of all cases because it gives the best picture. But my question is, why would somebody set aside the accounting? Why would somebody structure a transaction that way and want it to be characterized want it to be characterized as compensation for some reasons and as something else for financial reporting reasons. I don't understand the motivation.
It's prior practices.
The motivation I've seen is that you want to have it contingent upon employment so that it can be called compensation expense for tax purposes. But for financial reporting purposes, you want to argue that nobody would ever actually pay somebody that much, so it must be purchase price. And, I mean, for better or for worse, I think, you know, in the U.S., the practice has been, if the employment contingency is substantive, and you will not make the payment if he does not work, it's compensation. And that, Laurence, you, in your comments, you said IFRS 3 does not allow you to split it, and so you might have to recognize this as compensation, even though you know it's purchase price. I guess I would ask the question, how do you know? B55, as a lead-in, actually says, if it is not clear, look at these indicators. I think you postulated a situation where it is clear in that it's purchase price, in which case B55 wouldn't tell you to do something different because it only applies if it's not clear. And I certainly question whether it could ever be clear if it was tied to employment, but that's what B55 says.
John?
I mean, in general with these arrangements, I mean, the problem is that they're structured with contingent consideration linked to service because most of the value that you're acquiring is in the heads of the individuals, and you want those people to continue to extract that value, and you can't extract it out of their heads except if they continue to work for you for a period of time. So the question is, what's the value of what's in their heads at the date of the transaction versus what's the value of that they're going to give to the business by working in that business post the acquisition for a period of time? And I think that's almost an impossible question to answer, which is why the default position is if you link it to service, or I believe the default position is if you link it to service, and the payments are forfeited if you don't complete service, it is compensation. And I think we can talk about whether that economically makes sense. It probably doesn't economically make sense because there is value that's being acquired when you acquire those individuals, but it's how do you make that cut between how much of it is for the acquisition and how much of it is remuneration for the services.
Slavery being against the law. Okay, I have noted two wording changes. The first is that the lead into the second paragraph, while appreciating the reason for the request, really doesn't do anything. Okay. And so I think Andrew suggested let's just cut it out. And then I'm looking for the almost always language that we wanted to submit.
Yes.
Arrangement, substantively indicates that the arrangement is in substance. That's, do we want to use essentially the same word twice in the same sentence? Joanna?
So I was just thinking about linking that in the start of that second paragraph, and I know we're wordsmithing now, because we've said about the apparent contradiction in the first paragraph, that's why we got the submission, despite the apparent contradiction, blah, 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 that we note that substantively it would be that. So you were actually linking that apparent to why we're actually making that statement, that substantively it almost always would be that.
I would make one small word change to that. I would not use apparent because that seems, again, us endorsing that it's contradictory. Yeah. So rather than the
perceived,
whatever,
yes,
asserted by the submitter or whatever, words to that effect. Andrew?
Well, I was going to suggest, can't we use the last couple of lines in that second paragraph, something like, are automatically forfeited if employment terminates, indicates that the arrangement is compensation for post-combination services rather than additional consideration for her acquisition unless that arrangement is not substantive or something like that.
That's better. That's better. Yeah. You guys got that?
I think so. Otherwise, we'll follow up with Andrew.
Okay. In essence, that's the explanation of almost always. Instead of saying almost always as a notion, that just explains what it is.
Yeah.
I vote against.
Pardon me?
I vote against.
Okay. I note Laurence as an objector. Does anybody else object?
There was one other change that I noted down earlier, and that was to add to the first paragraph something about the introduction suggesting indicative, whereas the first subparagraph being conclusive.
And I think the only concern we had with regard to that is to make it clear that that is the assertion that the submitter is making.
Yes.
Rather than something that we necessarily agree with. Anything else on this one? Okay, you'll all see it as part of update. Anything else that I have forgotten? None appearing, we will proceed to close. Thank you very much, gang.